Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Breaking the Chains by Janine Infante Bosco, narrated by Tim Page and Kelsey Navarro. Prologue. Bishop. Past. Combing my fingers through my hair, I glance around the room and take in all the children. Not one of them looks happy, and I wonder if that's because they dread these supervised visits as much as I do. Don't get me wrong, I look forward to seeing my son. It's the goodbye that comes when our time is done, I can't fucking stand. It's feeling him be pulled from my arms. It's watching his eyes fill with tears as he looks back at me, silently pleading for me to straighten up my act and be the father he deserves. It's the helplessness I feel in the pit of my gut when the door closes and he's gone. It's leaving this shithole, knowing I failed my boy. Sighing, I divert my attention to the door. Through the pane of glass, I spy my son's guardian, his Uncle Pete, and our caseworker, Shay. Watching as they converse, I rise to my feet. My gaze falls to the little boy between them, and my heart plummets at the sight of him. Children are supposed to be carefree, innocent and curious by nature. Happy. They're supposed to be fucking happy. Connor is anything but, and that's all on me. A lump begins to form in my throat as the door opens. Shay is the first to enter and offers me a smile before stepping to the side. I watch as Pete lays a hand on Connor's shoulder and bends his head, quietly whispering something into his ear. Forcing a smile, I try to hide my heartbreak. "Hey, bud," I murmur hoarsely. He tears his gaze away from Pete's hand and turns to me. Keeping his face expressionless, he lifts his chin and stares at me. Trying to feign indifference, I keep the fake-as-fuck smile on my face and ball my hands into fists. My eyes flit to Pete, and I give him a slight nod, acknowledging his presence. He drops his hand from my son's shoulder and tips his chin in response before turning and disappearing out the door. Connor remains rooted in place, and I nervously look to Shay for assistance. She quickly moves to Connor, bending her knees to be eye level with him, and with a gentle tone, she encourages him to make his way towards me. He doesn't hug me, and it takes every ounce of control not to drag him into my arms against his will and hold him close. Once he's seated at the table, Shay walks to the other side of the room. I watch as she takes a seat and pulls out her iPad. For the duration of our visit, she'll sit there and quietly observe us, taking notes that she'll eventually present to the court at our next hearing. Focusing my attention back to Connor, I take a seat across from him. Desperate for contact, I reach across the table, but I stop myself from reaching for his hand. Instead, I lay my open palm on the table, offering it to him. He stares at it, but doesn't take it. I don't pull it back in case he changes his mind, though. After all, it always takes some time for him to warm up to me, for him to forget I'm a disaster of a father and recognize there is love in my heart for him. Sanctioning my patience, I exhale and scratch the scruff hiding my face with my free hand. I got a job, I reveal. To him, it's nothing, but for me, it's another step in the right direction. When I first met his mother, Kiki, I was nothing more than a common drug dealer who used more than he ever sold, and she was pretty to look at and easy to please. A willing body is what she was until two pink lines revealed her to be more. I didn't want kids, and as soon as she told me she was pregnant, the only thing I thought was that a baby would be nothing but a roadblock between me and my drugs. I know, horrible, but nonetheless true. In fact, before we go any further with this story, I should set you straight. I am not a good man. Never have been and probably never will be. I'm the guy God uses as an example to prove to his disciples hell really does exist. I never tried to get clean or make false promises to Kiki, and I don't remember going to any doctor's appointments. I also wasn't there when her water broke. I showed up a couple of days later with a box of diapers, setting the stage for the 3 years that would follow. Sometimes she'd call crying, begging me for money, but I didn't answer. I was too busy robbing houses to feed my habit. Connor was born with some stomach issue, and he needed a special formula. Public assistance didn't cover it, and it was expensive. Never once did I steal to feed my son. Last year, Kiki found her backbone and took my pathetic ass to court. The judge granted her sole custody, and 6 months ago when she died in a car crash, that same judge laughed in my face when I petitioned the court for guardianship. I didn't even have a fucking lawyer. I was strung out on drugs, living out of my car, and there I was thinking I could be what Connor needed. I don't know what caused the sudden change of heart. Maybe it was the drugs, but when I looked across the courtroom and my eyes found his, I felt something, a dire need to be better, to be the father I never had. The judge appointed Kiki's brother, Pete, Connor's guardian, and I checked myself into rehab the next day. 28 days later, I was released. Clean and sober, I went to family court and filed for visitation. I had to prove myself worthy of seeing my own son, and finally, after a couple of months, I was granted these supervised visits. When we first started them, Connor and I were essentially strangers. I didn't know his favorite color or what he liked to do for fun. I didn't know shit. But every week, I learn something new, and not because he intentionally shares it with me, but because I watch him closely. I absorb every single second I spend with him and commit them all to memory. His favorite color is green. It's the crayon he grabs the most, and the signature color of the Hulk, which seems to be his favorite Avenger, seeing as he draws him a lot. My eyes drift to the box of crayons and the sheet of paper on the table. Pulling out the green crayon, I place it on the table and slide it in front of him. To my surprise, he doesn't take it. I look across the room at Shay, but she is too immersed with her iPad to notice, so I continue to struggle with my son, hoping something I say will encourage him to engage in the conversation. "Hey," I call hoarsely, diverting my eyes back to Connor. "I have something to show you," I say, lifting my hand to my short sleeve. Rolling it up past my shoulder, I reveal the fresh ink adorning my skin. Connor hesitates for a second before lifting his head. His gaze locks on the snowflakes tattooed to my shoulder, and I smile. "After our last visit, I took the snowflakes you and Shay cut out and had a buddy of mine ink them on me. Now, even when we're apart, there is still a piece of you with me. Pretty cool, huh?" Naively, I thought the tattoo would prove to him that I cared, that I was sticking around, that I fucking loved him. I thought he'd look at those snowflakes and light up, maybe even give me a hug. Instead, he pushes his chair back and jumps to his feet. Surprised by the abrupt movement, my eyes dart back to Shay. This time her eyes find mine and curiously narrow as Connor moves to stand in front of me. Before either of us can react, Connor touches his finger to one of the snowflakes. Slicing my gaze back to my son, my body goes still as he traces every line and every curve. Realizing it's the closest we've been, I close my eyes and breathe in his clean scent. Something breaks the spell and Connor jerks away. My eyes spring open, meeting his that are full of tears, and panic instantly engulfs me as I reach for him. "Shit," I hiss. "Connor, I didn't..."
"Help,"
he whispers so softly I barely hear him. "What did you say?" I question, inching closer to him. Quietly, he continues to stare at me, and I watch in horror as tears escape the corners of his eyes.
"Help me, please," he cries.
I don't have to know what he needs my help with for his plea to send a jagged spear straight through my heart. Whatever it is, whatever he needs, I'll do it. I'll kill, cheat, and steal, break through locked doors. I'll send the whole fucking world crashing down, light a match to it, and watch it burn to ash. Whatever it takes. For my son, there is nothing I won't do. 1. Bishop. Present. "Sweet as a fucking peach," I growl against her mouth before sucking her lower lip between my teeth. I've spent many nights in a cold jail cell with my fist wrapped around my dick, dreaming of this moment. A moan or maybe a whimper sounds from the back of Charlotte's throat as she threads her greedy fingers through my curly hair. It's music to my ears, and I want more, so much more.
"Don't stop,"
she half begs, half demands. Little does she know, I have no intentions of ever stopping. I've got a million fantasies to live out, and the life expectancy of a man is 78, which gives me a little more than half a lifetime to do so. I'm done wasting time. From this point forward, I want to wake up every morning with Charlotte next to me. I want those beautiful hazel eyes to be the first thing I see, and I want to feel all the wild hair between my fingers as I fuck her mouth.
I wouldn't mind having her legs wrapped around my head either, because I know for certain as soon as I get her clothes off and taste that pussy, I won't ever want to come up for air. Peeling my mouth away from hers, I reach for the hem of her t-shirt and swiftly pull it over her head. My eyes dart to her breasts and her pert nipples that poke against the lace. I think back to the first time she teased me with them. She was wearing that tight-as-fuck Betty Boop t-shirt, and I'm pretty sure she didn't bother with a bra. Not the ideal attire for a prison visit, but my cock appreciated her efforts. Bending my head, I close my mouth around her lace-covered nipple and nip at the erect bud. Charlotte reaches behind her and deals with the clasp of her bra as I flick my tongue back and forth. The straps fall from her shoulders and she inches back, leaving me licking my lips as she frees her swollen tits from their confines. Fuck, I moan, watching as she cups and squeezes them together. If I wasn't already on the verge of coming in my pants, I might take the time to fuck her tits. The thought causes me to close my eyes, and for the briefest second, I imagine what my cock would look like sliding between those fucking swollen mounds. Bishop, she pants, and my eyes shoot open instantly. I watch in awe as she rolls her nipples between her fingers. I don't know if I can wait anymore, she breathes, giving each bud a pinch before dropping her hands to hook her thumbs under the waistband of her sleep shorts. As a man who can't remember the last time he fucked, you'd think I'd be more eager to get my cock deep inside her, but I stand, paralyzed, watching her shimmy out of her shorts. There's a scrap of cotton covering her bare pussy, and the thin waistband of her thong accentuates her round hips. Turn around, I order, pressing the heel of my hand against the zipper of my jeans. My cock strains as she flips her hair over her shoulder and slowly turns. Her ass is what dreams are made of, perfectly round and oh so tight. I step towards her, and with my free hand, I grab her hip and pull her against me. She bends over the bed, splaying her palms on top of the duvet cover as I undo the zipper of my jeans. I don't take my cock out or push my pants down my legs. I move my other hand and grab both of her hips, steadying her as I rock against her. She pushes back, teasing me, and I lose control. Rearing one hand back, I bring my palm heavily down on one globe, watching as the pale skin heats from the sting of the smack. Charlotte gasps and wiggles against me, pushing that ass higher. You ever get fucked in the ass, Peaches?
No,
she croaks. My eyes close at the admission, and I wrap my arm around her stomach, forcing her to straighten against me. I push her hair away from her ear and lick the shell. A shiver runs down her spine, and I feel her quiver in my arms. I'm taking your ass, baby, I whisper roughly. Not tonight, because I need to get inside that pussy more than I need my next breath, but I'm going to be the one and only man that gets your ass. You understand? She doesn't say a word, and I pull my dick out, guiding the crown between her ass cheeks. Gonna need to hear the words, Peaches, I hiss, bending my head to bite her shoulder. Say you understand. Her hand closes around mine, and she lowers it down her stomach to the apex between her thighs. Tossing her head back, she widens her stance and slides my hand inside her panties. She removes her own hand, leaving mine nestled against her bare pussy, and I dip my middle finger inside her warm cunt. Until now, I was sure I'd never know heaven. I thought it was only for the good, for the pure. Fuck, Peaches, I breathe. You're dripping. Her hips buck, and I slip another finger inside her.
Please tell me you have a condom, she shrieks.
In my jacket, I reply, kissing her shoulder. My thumb finds her clit, and I begin to stroke it. First, I want you like this. Can you do that for me, Peaches? Can you come all over my fingers? She whimpers, arching into my hand, and I lift my head from her shoulder to study her profile. Her eyes close, and she draws her lower lip between her teeth. She's almost there, a dream come true. A throaty moan fills my ears, and I push deeper inside of her as she comes wildly around my fingers.
Bishop,
she cries. That's it, baby. Sing for me. And sing she does. It's a beautiful chorus of moans and sighs, with my name acting as the crescendo. I pull my fingers from her, and just as I'm about to lift them to my lips, she turns in my arms and places her palms to my chest. Guiding me to the bed, she gives me a nudge and my ass drops to the mattress. I stare up at her as she kicks my legs apart and steps between them. Wrapping her arms around my neck, she lowers her forehead to mine.
"Where's that condom?"
"Jacket pocket," I croak, swallowing the lump in my throat as she falls to her knees between my legs. Keeping her eyes on mine, she orders me to lift my hips and drags my pants down the length of my legs. I watch in awe as she places her hands on my knees and bends her head. Her lips part and her tongue slips out, licking the spot of cum from the head of my cock. Every dream, all those lonely nights, nothing compares to here and now. I told myself I was unworthy and I doubted my intentions, but for some reason I've been given this moment, this second chance. There are no more doubts, not a single one. I choose her every second of every day. I choose Charlotte, us, this life and the beautiful music we're going to make together. She scrambles to her feet and winks at me before turning around. I watch her ass sway as she scans the bedroom, searching for my jacket, and I send a silent prayer up to God, thanking him for letting me see the error of my ways before I lost this beautiful woman. I wrap my hand around my cock and lay back on the bed as she finally locates the jacket on the floor. My hand works my shaft, and I grow more anxious with every tug. "Peaches, I'm dying here," I groan. At this rate, I'm going to come before the tip even works its way past the slick lips of her pussy. I lift my head off the mattress and spot her standing completely still by the door with her back facing me.
"Char?"
The jacket drops from her fingers, and she slowly turns to face me. The lustful gaze that flickered in her hazel eyes only moments ago is replaced with a world of hurt. Confused, I force myself to sit up. That's when I see the gun in her hand, and the flames of hell start creeping into my heaven. "Charlotte," I rasp, standing from the bed. I grab my pants and quickly pull them up my legs. I don't bother with the zipper as I make my way towards her. "I can explain," I say, eyeing the gun. She moves out of my reach and closes her hand around the barrel. Lifting my eyes to hers, I hold out my palm and plead with her. "Give me the gun, and let's talk." Staring at me blankly, I watch her throat as she forces a swallow. Her skin is still flushed from the orgasm, but her eyes speak of betrayal and not bliss. With jerky movements, she nervously drops the gun into my palm. "That a girl," I murmur.
"Don't talk to me like that," she scolds, pushing her hair away from her face. "You want to tell me why the fuck you have a gun in your jacket pocket?"
She pauses to shake her head and grabs her robe off the hook on the back of the door. Shoving her arms through the silk sleeves, she ties a knot at the waist and crosses her arms against her chest.
"You promised me," she whispers disbelievingly. "You told me you wouldn't do anything to jeopardize your freedom."
"And I didn't," I argue. But those three words fall on deaf ears.
"How could you do this? How could you do this to Connor?"
Setting the gun on top of the dresser, I clench my teeth. I'm not the same selfish guy I used to be. I put my son before everything and everyone, something I proved tonight when I walked away from one of the men who gave me back my life. "I didn't do anything," I insist. "If you don't believe me, check the clip."
"Check the clip," she repeats. "Forget the fact that you shouldn't be carrying a gun, period, because you'll go back to prison. You brought a fucking weapon into my home. What if the social worker comes by? Did you think about that, or were you too busy breaking the law to care about your son?"
Her words stab me in the gut, and I clench my fists in anger. "I'm not that guy."
"Charlotte, listen to me. Get out."
"You're going to wake Connor up.
Then I guess you better leave,"
she fires back as tears trickle from the corners of her eyes.
"You don't mean that. If you calm down and let me explain..."
"No!"
she shouts. "There's nothing to explain other than I'm a fucking fool. God, I really thought you could change, that you were better than this. I thought you were better than him."
Rage eats at me, and I take a step closer, getting in her face. "Stop fucking comparing me to your old man. I chose you tonight. I chose you and Connor, and when your father was faced with the choice, he didn't choose you." As soon as the words leave my lips, I wish to take them back, because Charlotte looks at me as if I've just raised my hands to her, and that fucking wrecks me. "I'm sorry," I sigh, reaching for her. "I didn't mean that." She takes another step backward, putting more space between us, and lifts her chin.
"Get out of my house," she whispers, wiping her tears with the backs of her hands as she glares at me.
I hate it. I fucking hate everything about this moment. The words we say, and the way she looks at me, the hurt in her eyes, and the dread twisting in my gut. I hate every damn thing. But more than anything, I hate the way we break, the way we fall apart.
"Leave, Bishop, before I call the cops."
It's my turn to look at her as though she's just slapped me. And like her, I take a step back, pride wounded, heartbroken, fury crackling through my whole being.
"Please don't make me do it," she cries. "I don't want to be the person who breaks Connor's heart, so just go peacefully," she chokes through her sobs. "I'm begging you."
I don't want to leave. I want to make it right. I want her to give me a chance to explain myself, to make her understand I'm done living two lives, that she and Connor are all I want, all I need. But I also want to spare my son any more pain. For the first time in his life, Connor feels my love. He's found somewhere he's comfortable, somewhere he feels safe. I don't want him waking up in the middle of the night to the sound of me and Charlotte fighting. I don't want him questioning what we worked so hard to build. Keeping that in mind, I pull my shirt over my head and make quick work of my zipper. I check to make sure the gun is tucked securely into the waistband of my jeans, and I pick my jacket up off the floor. Closing the distance between me and Charlotte, I gently lift her chin with my thumb. I used to dream of this woman. I used to wish I was the guy who came home to her, the man who got all her days and every single night. "This isn't what you think it is, Charlotte. I didn't do you wrong," I whisper hoarsely before releasing her chin. Brushing the tears from her cheeks, I close my eyes as a sob slips past her lips. And right now, this is me choosing Connor.
2. Charlotte. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Isn't that the saying? I guess being the fool was inevitable. After all, a girl's first example of how a man is supposed to treat a woman is her father, and mine fooled me into believing I mattered, that he loved me as much as he loved my sister. Bishop is right. My dad didn't choose me. But neither did he, and the proof lays in the 9mm he's carrying. Lifting my head, I shut the faucet and stare at my reflection in the mirror. My eyes are swollen and my face is blotchy from all the crying I've done since I asked him to leave. For a good half hour, I sat on the floor of my bedroom, playing back the broken look in his eyes, and I wondered if I did the right thing. If throwing him out without giving him a chance to explain was fair of me. I pulled myself off the floor and intuition had me peering out the window. I spotted him on the front stoop with his head in his hands. And I broke down in tears again, knowing no explanation would make it right. Before I made my way into the bathroom, I grabbed my phone from the nightstand and sent him a text, asking him to leave the property. My landlady was an old woman with zero tolerance for noise. She once threatened to raise my rent because she heard me vacuuming after 6 o'clock at night. "I'm not going anywhere." That was the response I got in return. Now, here I am trying to pull myself together because there is a little boy sleeping in the next room, and he doesn't need to know his father failed him again. I stood in a court of law and vowed to care for and protect him, and I won't jeopardize that for the sake of my heart. Suddenly, I hear a banging sound, and it instantly drags me away from my thoughts. I hurry out of the bathroom, make my way to the living room, and realize it's Bishop's fist pounding against the front door. "Charlotte, please, I gave you time to cool off." His tone is desperate and laced with pain. It would be so easy to open the door and ignore the facts. So easy to pretend we're a family. Maybe that's where I became the fool. I let the lines blur, and instead of owning my role as a temporary guardian, I sought love and acceptance from Connor and Bishop. I inserted myself into their lives and begged them both to choose me, to make me theirs. "Give me a chance to explain," he begs. "For fuck's sake, You got my son in there, Charlotte. You can be mad at me, but you can't take him away from me. I fought too hard to have a place in that boy's life. We fought too hard for me to be the dad he deserves. Choking on my tears, I lean my forehead against the door. My hand closes around the doorknob, and I reach for the lock. Before my fingers can fiddle with the lock, his fist collides with the other side, and I nearly jump out of my skin. If he keeps this up, he's not only going to wake my grumpy landlady, but Connor too. He smacks his palm against the door. Peaches, open the goddamn door. I shake my head, trying to find my voice. I know you're there. I can fucking feel you. He continues. You're in my bones, Charlotte. You're part of my black soul. There's no escaping me. You, we're connected. We're fucking entwined, and I don't just mean because of Connor. You're my girl, you hear me? You are my girl.
Go home, I plead. Just go home.
You won't fucking let me.
I mean your apartment, I volley. You're going to wake Connor.
No, he argues. You're going to wake Connor because you won't fucking hear me out.
Drawing my lip between my teeth, I glance over my shoulder and look towards the bedrooms. I don't want to upset Connor. Bishop may be wrong about a lot of things, but he's right about one. We fought hard for that little boy to have a relationship with his dad. I put my whole life on pause to reunite them, and now I'm going to overlook all that? How do you give a man back his son and then ask him to leave? How do you give a little boy a dad, make him believe he's a hero, only to disappoint him in the end? My mind flashes back to the gun, and I shake my head, seeking clarity. I didn't do this. I'm not the one pulling them apart. Bishop did that by choosing the Satan's Knights over Connor. Just like my dad chose his dying daughter over his living one. Stepping away from the door, I hurry towards the bedroom. My thoughts are too conflicted. There is a war raging inside of me, and nothing good ever comes from rash decisions. Grabbing my phone, I search through my contacts and pull up the number of the only man I can trust to help me. I quickly hit send. It starts to ring, and my gaze shoots to the alarm clock on the end table. Knowing Schwartz, he is probably neck deep into breaking the heart of some poor unsuspecting bedmate. Hopefully it's not my cousin.
Do you know what time it is?
He barks into the phone. The man isn't big on greetings. Not in the light of day, and surely not in the middle of the night.
I'm sorry, but I don't know who else to call, I reply, my voice shaking with each word.
What's wrong?
It's Bishop, I rasp.
Indecision claws at me as I debate on how much to divulge.
For fuck's sake, what did he do now?
He pauses.
Ah, shit. Pete was released this morning. Does this have anything to do with that?
Swallowing, I close my eyes. That hadn't even crossed my mind. I was more concerned with him getting in trouble with his parole officer. I didn't worry over him seeking revenge.
I don't know if he did anything, but I found a gun. I threw him out, but he won't leave. I'm afraid he's going to wake Connor.
I fucking told you not to do this. That you were in too deep, but you wouldn't listen. Damn it, Charlotte.
Please, don't make me regret calling you, I whisper, tears falling wildly from my eyes.
Silence passes through the line, and for a second, I think he's hung up on me. But then he lets out an exasperated sigh.
I'll be right there, he mutters. Just lock your doors and stay inside.
He disconnects the call, and that last sentence festers. Bishop would never hurt me or Connor. That's not why I called Schwartz. I just want someone to talk some sense into him. But what if it's too late? What if he already acted? What if there's blood on his hands and an APB out for him? Oh, God. The thought of him going back to prison is crippling and shatters my heart. Charlotte? My gaze shoots towards the open door, and my eyes meet Connor's. Once so sad,
They are now full of hopes and dreams. "Someone's at the door," he says, rubbing the sleep from his eyes. I quickly brush.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?